And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, the ELCE, held its synod on Saturday, the 30th of April 22, at Resurrection Church in Cambridge. A projector screen was on the side of the sanctuary showing the Zoom participants, and the real people were scattered throughout the pews. Pastor Bellisback led the Matins liturgy, and Pastor Ehlers delivered the sermon based on Romans 8, verse 35, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ?" Pastor Sam Yetz formally opened the synod with an introduction, the usual roll call of delegates, and the acceptance of the last meeting's minutes. Sadly, Pastor Simeoki had contracted coronavirus and was restricted to Zoom attendance, but carried on despite obviously struggling from time to time. Because more than 25% of congregations had dissented during the 30 days cooling period to a previous resolution on the amount of voting delegates, discussion began on the synod franchise and the first part of Resolution 1, that each congregation shall elect two delegates from its voting membership as its representatives to be voting delegates at synod. There was a fair amount of debate on this, both for and against, with Dr. Heumann of Westfield House giving a brief history lesson on relationships between pastors and laity. Voting commenced, but proved more problematical with making sure counting votes in the building and those on the screen were accurately counted. By stripping off his shoes and socks and using toes, Pastor Samietz managed to get the count right, and the resolution passed. There was a break with yet more excellent Cambridge goodies, this reporter will go again, and the second part of Resolution 1, that Westfield House should be represented by one voting delegate at Synod, was discussed and passed. These votes made Resolutions 2 and 3 void and Resolution 4 redundant. Resolution 5 was discussed. Submitted by Good Shepherd in Coventry, this was an attempt to try and cut down time spent on resolutions and on how they were being submitted. After fairly lengthy debates and a failed amendment, the resolution was lost, and so constitutional amendments only still have a 30 days buyer's remorse time after synod before they come into effect. Resolution 6 from Our Saviour in Fareham was on the church body name, the ELCE, and that it did not reflect our presence in Scotland, Wales or any other place with accents. With a one-word amendment, this resolution was passed, so thinking caps on people for good suggestions. We need to have a new name for submission for the July Synod, or decide to keep our current name. After breaking for an excellent lunch, the delegates resumed their labours discussing the central budget, with Dr. Cindy Lumley going through the figures in detail. The central office is moving into Westfield House itself, and the old office may be turned into more student accommodation. It is hoped that someone will eventually be employed there, but if there isn't, then congregations will have to do more for themselves. Resolution 7, support for congregations while their pastor serves ELCE as chairman, had three sections to vote on, and there were mixed feelings from the floor, but all three parts of the resolutions were passed, and so we have adopted a principle of support. Resolution 8 on the adoption of the central budget was swiftly passed. Resolution 9 on ELCE travel costs from Good Shepherd in Coventry, that the ELCE treasurer consider how the ELCE might best respond to the current rising cost of fuel. This was discussed and some tax implications were mentioned if over 10,000 miles were claimed and anything over 45p per mile becomes taxable. The lower rate of 25p can be increased though. This was passed with five pastors abstaining as they had declared an interest. Finally, as time was pressing after a long day, Resolution 10 about the sabbatical leave and furlough funds was discussed. The furlough fund is used to pay for the return travel of the pastor and his family to his home country. After many years of claims, that fund has dropped down to about £200. The sabbatical fund has had very little demand and stands at about £9,000. This fund is used for special projects that a pastor may wish to work on, say writing a book for example. There were questions raised as to whether money could be moved from the sabbatical fund to the furlough fund, and concerns raised about whether some congregations could afford to pay into the funds, but all three sections of the resolution were passed. Time had now run out, and so the closing service was held. The celebrant was Pastor Krieger, and the sermon delivered by the chairman, Pastor Samietz. To sum up, it was a busy but normal day where friends got together once again to share their time, worship and love for their risen Saviour after 2 years of enforced isolation. Cambridge rose to the occasion brilliantly. The technology worked, the people worshipped, and the work was done in good order. It was a good day. The chief rabbi has urged congregants to return to synagogues, claiming that Zoom prayers cannot compete with the spiritual growth that in-person services offer. Ephraim Mervis said that during the coronavirus pandemic, virtual services became a powerful tool which enabled people of all faiths to engage with worship. However, following the success of the UK's vaccination drive and a relaxation of all government restrictions, observing Shabbat offers a digital detox in our challenging world, and hybrid online services compete with the spiritual growth that going to synagogues and spending time with family offers. Rabbi Mervis, who serves as Chief Rabbi of the United Hebrew Congregations of the Commonwealth and who represents the Orthodox Jewish community, told The Telegraph ahead of the post-COVID return of Shabbat UK 22, "There's nothing quite like the real thing regarding in-person services. The annual event is the largest mass participation event for the Jewish community and encourages observance of the weekly Jewish Sabbath, which begins every Friday night and ends after dark on Saturday evening. For religiously observant and Orthodox Jews, Shabbat is as important as any other holy day. Many do not work, travel, or use electricity on Shabbat, and instead spend time in synagogue praying and with family." Speaking ahead of the event, which began on Friday, Rabbi Mervis said, "Shabbat is spent with quality time with family around the Shabbat table and through these special experiences. Some people associate it with being a day of restrictions, but actually that is only a small part of it. It is primarily an opportunity to grow as individuals, as families, to grow in spirituality. It is also a digital detox day, which is so healthy and so welcome within our challenging world today, and so many families appreciate that digital detox opportunity. So this is going to be an extraordinary Shabbat. Many, many people coming to synagogue, being engaged in special learning activities and community activities, and it's brilliant that we can at last do that." Rabbi Mervis added that the Jewish community is engaging congregants with hybrid events, both on and off online, throughout the pandemic. However, because during Shabbat and festivals, Orthodox Jews do not use virtual communications or technology, we're actually appreciating the in-person opportunity of community far more, because you need to be there in person, the chief rabbi said. "And in fact, while we benefited so much from the Zoom opportunity, there's nothing quite like the real thing, and that is certainly what we're going to be celebrating on Shabbat UK." His comments come after earlier this week when Catholic bishops told the faithful to return to church and stop worshipping from home. The Catholic Bishops Conference of England and Wales, the CBCEW, told worshippers to return to Mass for Pentecost the first Sunday in June, as they issued a statement saying that virtual viewing of Mass online does not fulfil the Sunday obligation. The embattled former dean of an Oxford college has announced he has quit the Church of England, claiming it is an unsafe place to work. The Very Reverend Professor Martin Percy, the Dean of Christchurch, agreed to step down following a mediation process that concluded in February. He formally left his position in April after reaching a settlement involving a substantial payoff. In an interview with The Times at the weekend, he revealed that during his prolonged dispute with the college, he suffered a serious breakdown and came close to considering suicide. He also criticised the Bishop of Oxford, Dr. Stephen Croft, for writing a very public letter, saying that it was inappropriate for people to be defending me in public when I was being attacked in public. However, now he's announced his decision to leave the Church of England. In an article for Prospect magazine, he criticised it, citing the parlous state of safeguarding within the church. "In the face of partisanship, failure to neutrally manage conflicts of interest, double standards and incompetence in the CoE safeguarding, I finally took a decision to leave the church," he said. "Though I have been ordained for more than 30 years and continue with my faith in God, the Church of England has destroyed any trust I might have had in it. It is an unsafe place to work. His experience of being accused of safeguarding failures and a charge of sexual harassment led him to conclude that the institution lacks transparency, accountability, external scrutiny, and, as far as I'm concerned, integrity. Within the church, there was a culture of bullying and harassment afflicting many clergy, he added. The protracted dispute between the former dean and the governing body of Christchurch cost millions of pounds and caused serious reputational damage to the 476-year-old college. At the heart of the dispute was the former dean's pay and his efforts to reform the college's governance, but he was accused of behaviour of an immoral, scandalous or disgraceful nature. In June 2019, all complaints against him were dismissed by a retired High Court judge and his reinstatement ordered. However, efforts by the governing body to remove the former dean from his post continued. A spokesman for Dr. Cross said he had gone to considerable lengths to care for Martin Percy, adding, "This has been a complex and painful process for all concerned over the past 2 years, much of which has been inaccurately played out by supporters of Dr. Percy in the media and online. The diocese have commissioned an independent review to be led by the church's independent safeguarding board." A gunman motivated by hatred against Taiwan chained shut the doors of a California church and hid firebombs before shooting at a gathering of mostly elderly Taiwanese parishioners, killing a man who tackled him, U.S. authorities said. David Chu, 68, of Las Vegas, a U.S. citizen whom authorities say grew up in Taiwan, drove to Orange County on Saturday and the next day attended a lunch held by Irvine Taiwanese Presbyterian Church, which worships at Geneva Presbyterian Church in the community of Laguna Woods. Though he knew no one there, he spent about an hour mingling with about 40 attendees and then executed his plot, authorities said at a news conference. He chained the doors and put superglue in the keyholes. He had 2 9mm handguns legally purchased years ago in Las Vegas and 3 bags containing, among other things, 4 Molotov cocktail-type incendiary devices and extra ammunition. He opened fire, and in the ensuing chaos, Dr. John Cheng, 52, tackled him, allowing other parishioners to subdue him and tie him up with extension cords. Cheng died, and 5 people were wounded, the oldest being 92. Sheriff Don Barnes called Cheng's heroism a meeting of good versus evil that probably saved the lives of upwards of dozens of people. Chu was booked on suspicion of murder and attempted murder and jailed on $1 million bail. He was expected to appear in state court on Tuesday. It was not immediately clear whether he'd had an attorney who could speak on his behalf. A federal hate crimes investigation is also ongoing. Chu had worked as a security guard in Las Vegas, authorities said. There was no immediate word on why Chu chose to target the church in Laguna Woods, a scenic coastal area whose population mainly consists of retirees and is near a large gated community. Barnes said the motive for the shooting was Chu's hatred towards Taiwan that was documented in handwritten notes that authorities found. Chu's family apparently was among many forcibly removed from mainland China to Taiwan sometime after 1948, Orange County District Attorney Todd Spitzer said. Barnes referred to Chu as an immigrant from China, but Taiwan's Central News Agency said it interviewed Louis Ong Huang, Director General of the Taipei Economic and Cultural Office in Los Angeles, and he confirmed that Chu was born in Taiwan in 1953. Barnes said that Chu acted alone and was not believed to be associated with any specific church or any religion, and there's no direct connection to the church or any member of the church that we're aware of. Balmore Orellana, a former neighbour, said Chu's life unravelled after his wife left him last year. Before, Chu had been a pleasant man who used to own the Las Vegas apartment building where he lived until being evicted in February, Orellana told the Associated Press. Those wounded by gunshots included an 86-year-old woman as well as 4 men ages 66, 75, 82 and 92, the sheriff's department said. Authorities on Monday said 2 of the wounded were in good condition, 2 were in stable condition, and the status of the 5th patient was undetermined. Jerry Chen, a longtime member of the church, said a group of about 40 congregants had gathered in the fellowship hall for a luncheon after a morning service to welcome their former pastor, Billy Chang, a beloved and respected community member who had served the church for 20 years. Everyone had just finished lunch and were taking photos with Chang when Chen went into the kitchen, and that's when they heard the gunshots. Barnes said Chang, a sports medicine doctor who is survived by a wife and two children, charged at the shooter and attempted to disarm him, allowing others to intervene. Chang hit the gunman on the head with a chair before other parishioners subdued him. "I will tell you that evil was in that church," Spitzer said, who added that Chu had an absolute bias against Taiwan and its people. The shooting came a day after an 18-year-old man shot and killed 10 people at a supermarket in Buffalo, New York, in a racist rampage where the white gunman allegedly targeted a supermarket in a predominantly black neighborhood. And finally, Pastor Jamie finally got to retirement age, but found he missed being employed. One day a friend said, "Hey, Jamie, I heard there's some sort of job opening at the zoo. Why don't you go check it out?" Jamie didn't know much about animals, but he was desperate. The zoo director met Jamie at the door with a handshake. He told him there was one job still open. "What is it?" Jamie asked. "Well, you see, our gorilla died recently, and he was our most popular attraction. We need someone to don a gorilla suit and play gorilla all day. It pays well." "I can do that," says Jamie. So he donned the suit the first day. He started making gorilla noises and swung around a bit on some vines. This went on for a week, and Jamie got more and more into his role each day. One day he was posturing and swinging wildly from the vines, putting on a show like no other. Suddenly he lost control and sailed through the air, landing into the lion exhibit next door. Jamie was terrified and froze. The lion looked up at him hungrily and started stalking closer to Jamie. Jamie backed up against the wall and started screaming, "Oh my God, help me!" The lion got right up to him, nose to nose, and said, "Shut up, stupid, or you get us both fired."
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you, and goodbye for now.